We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she'll choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.
The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Concerning the Apostle Paul, someone has said he was not only a soul winner, but he was also a friend maker. And when you read the last chapter of the book of Romans, I want to just tell you, it seems like he was surrounded by a lot of friends. This is Bert Harper and Alex McFarland, and we appreciate our friends joining us today on Exploring the Word. And we're going to look at Romans 16. It's the final chapter, and it's quite a bit of names, and some of them are very familiar, some of them are not so familiar, but we want to look at them today. Alex, again, when I look at Romans 16, I get the feeling that Paul put a priority on friendship.
Oh, amen. He surely did. And Bert, it's great to be with you and great to be with everybody. As we conclude our really several months, I suppose, we've been in the book of Romans, 16 chapters. And you're right, as you know, chapter 15 concluded, "Now the God of peace be with you. Amen." And you might think that it was over, but it's not. There are 27 more verses, the vast majority of which he greets and encourages and commends very special colleagues in the gospel work. And it's a fascinating list. You and I were communicating earlier today, and I want us to read through some of these. And you're right, Paul did put a premium on friendship, as we should. And Bert, isn't it something how Paul had friendships within the body of Christ, people that were vastly important in the work of the gospel? And I think that's a lesson for us today, isn't it? Friendships that span the years, but they have Jesus in common.
I fully agree. And I just want to tell you, isolation by yourself, there's times to pull away. Jesus did. But the majority of the time he spent while he was here upon earth with people, his family, and then the 12, and then 70 and 500, he would spend time with them. And so we see that in the Apostle Paul, spending time with friends. He would always travel with a group, and it would grow. He might have left with two, but by the time he ended, there was about four or five we know that would travel with him. So this is the first one that he mentions, and this is probably the person who carried this precious letter from Corinth to Rome. And this is what most folks believe. I am one of those. He says in chapter 1 of 16, "I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church in Cenchrea, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints and assist her in whatever business she has need of you. For indeed, she has been a helper of many and of myself also." Well, here's this lady, Phoebe, and again, he commends her. Alex, I don't know about other denominations. You and I, you know, Southern Baptist, and people will move somewhere, and they will move their church letter. And I've asked people, said, "Where in the world do you get that?" I said, "Well, I get mine in Romans chapter 16, verse 1 and 2, where Paul wrote a letter to the church at Rome commending Phoebe and saying, hey, you take her in and treat her right. This is, amen. I love this, these two verses.
Well, it's interesting. Phoebe means shining, and she was a light of the gospel in a dark place. Okay, the church, which is at Cenchrea, because this is associated with Corinth, Bert, okay, Cenchrea was a city 5 miles from Corinth. It was actually a larger city from what I've read, and it was a port city. And in Cenchrea, there was a temple to Aphrodite, Asclepius, a temple to Isis, statues of different false gods, and a bronze statue of Poseidon. So here's the thing, Phoebe of Cenchrea, you know, was a light of the gospel in amongst a big city of idols. And Paul says, you know, she's been a helper to many and myself, so receive her as becometh the saints. There's a nod to Priscilla and Aquila.
Well, before you leave Phoebe, I just got to throw this in. It won't take but a second. Notice okay. The terms, sister, servant, helper. That's about exactly. As high as you get. Go ahead. I just wanted to say that.
And by the way, the word servant in verse 1 is the same Greek word for deacon.
Yeah, it's the feminine form of deacon.
It is. And do you know, like in verse 4, after Priscilla and Aquila, it says, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Bert, I think I've had people in the ministry that put their neck on the line for me.
Yeah.
And for the work that I've been doing. And we've said it many times, there are goers and there are senders. And both are equally important, aren't they?
They really are. And Priscilla and Aquila are mentioned at least 6 times that Paul writes about them in the book of Acts and then in his letters. And 4 out of the 6, which is unusual, Priscilla comes before Aquila. That's highly unusual. When you read chapter 16 and see the number of women who he lists as helpers and ministers and servants, the church is promoting this. This is great service. And Priscilla and Aquila, they risk their necks. We don't know exactly. This sounds like an event that may have taken place. It's not recorded in the book of Acts, but Paul sure did remember it, didn't he?
He did. I wonder if they were present at the riot in Ephesus.
Yeah.
In some way.
Well, they were there at some point in time. They could have been.
Yeah. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphroditus, maybe, the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ.
Amen.
And so, in other words, that might have been the first person won to Christ in Achaia.
That's
in
what that it region. Sounds like, Alex. And one more thing, I know we want to move fast. The church that is in their house, you're going to find this in the household or in their house 4 different times. And so, but he called it the church, even though they had branches, sort of like a bank that has branches, it's the same bank. So the church at Rome, same church, but they at least met in 4 different locations.
Verse 6, greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Bert, I do not think this is any of the Marys mentioned in the Gospels. Okay, you've got in the Gospels, Mary, the mother of Jesus, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and John. This is a different Mary,
right,
who apparently labored much in the service of the church there. And, you know, so just not to assume that she is one of the more famous Marys elsewhere in the gospel.
Alex, when you hear the name Mary, female, and the name Joseph, male,
yes,
no matter what Bible character you find, they're going to be awesome people. That's Mary and Joseph. I know that was, you know, Jesus from their household, but elsewhere as well.
Exactly. Well, there are these famous names, aren't there? And sometimes it's fun to dive in and see all the ones that, you know, are in there. Verse 7, salute Andronicus. Now, that's a name that means conqueror, and he's a kinsman of Paul at Rome, and my fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles also who were in Christ before me. So at Rome were some disciples, possibly arrested, incarcerated, that knew the Lord even before Paul did.
That's amazing. These two guys, Junia, would you say it? Their name that way, possibly Junia, J-U-N-I-A.
Yeah,
my kinsman. possibly fellow Jews.
Right.
There's one or two that thought, well, could they be kinfolks of his blood? Usually when he does this, it's usually a spiritual relationship, Alex, yes, most of the time.
Yes. He mentions in verse 8 someone who is named Amplius. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. And, you know, Bert, I was thinking about all these names. We're not going to know their full story till we get to heaven. But they were significant enough. They had been believers, colleagues of Paul, significant enough that their name got commemorated in the Holy Writ. Isn't that something?
It is. I heard one of the writers that I was writing saying, just like Hebrews 11 is kind of a picture gallery of great Old Testament saints, we could say about Romans 16, we may not know as much about them, but it is a picture gallery of New Testament saints serving the Lord. Notice what it says of these two in verse 8, beloved. In verse 9, beloved. In other words, they were well thought of, Alex. They had that spirit about them that people would, you know, they knew they could depend upon them. These are the kind of people, you know, you've pastored some and you've been around a lot of churches as an evangelist. There's just some people there. They come and they make themselves available and say, what can I do for you, Alex? What can I do for you, Bert? And they are special. They really are. And I think these are as well.
Well, there's not pages of photographs, but this is one of the first church directories. I mean, you know.
Yes, it is. It's awesome. And these are people that are in Rome. Now, he's going to get later on to those that are with him in Corinth, but man, it's quite a list, Alex.
Well, and I love some of these names, like there is in verse 8, Amplius and Urbane and the different ones, and Aristobulus. In verse 10, salute them which are of Aristobulus. The name Aristobulus means best counselor. And I don't know, we can't really dive down into this because we just don't know, but I bet within these couple of dozen names are all the spiritual gifts manifested.
Good point. Hey, listen, Apelles is approved. In other words, he's proven himself in Christ. He has gone through the test. And the household, here's another one, probably meeting close to their house, a group of people meeting in their house. And the same thing in verse 11 as well, isn't it?
It is. And let me just say this. You know, there's this thing called the 80-20 principle, that 20% of the people do 80% of the work. And, you know, Jesus had all the disciples, but he had Peter, James, and John that were the executive cabinet, and John that was the beloved disciple. Be that in your church. Be one of the, sometimes it's been called the Pareto principle, but be one of the 20% that for God's glory alone and using your gifts and abilities helps, you know, pull the wagon. Help, you know, as my mentor in ministry, Dr. Pat Cronin, he's in heaven now. He said, hey, if you're going to be there, be there.
Amen.
And these people were like that. And I want to mention a couple, and Bert, you feel free to go back if you want to. In verse 14 is a name, Phlegon, Phlegon. And many people have asked if that is the, there's a famous Roman historian mentioned by Josephus who recorded that when Christ was crucified on the cross, the sky became dark for 3 hours. The darkness extended from Jerusalem all the way to Rome. That is not the Phlegon of Trales, T-R-A-L-L-E-S. Trales, the Roman historian, very good corroboration of the gospel. This is a different Phlegon, but a Roman convert nonetheless.
Well, we're going to be back. We're going to go through some more names. Would your name be on Paul's list if you'd been living in that day? I hope it would have been. We'll be back with more.
Every second of our lives, we are precious in His sight. We are children to a Father, gave His all to give us life. It don't matter where you are. It don't matter who you've been. Or when if you have forgotten.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. You know, I was listening to those words of that song and also thinking about the words of Romans chapter 16. Christianity is about the God who knows your name and the God who loves you personally and has immeasurable interest in the details of your life. Just like in Romans 16, the details that dozens of names are mentioned of people that they not only assisted Paul in the gospel, but these people are very special and they are known to God. And so are you, dear believer. And I hope you do know the Lord, and I hope you really have assurance in the knowledge that Jesus Christ loves you personally. He cares for you personally, and the Lord Jesus knows the minutiae of your life, and he's advocating for you. Bert, that's an encouragement, isn't it?
It really is, and I love that song, He Knows My Name. First time I ever heard it sang was by a young boy, 9 years old. He was out of Africa and Uganda, and he was an orphan, and he sang that at church where I was pastoring. He knows my name. And I thought, man, no matter where you are, he knows your name. He does. Speaking of names, in verse 12, and I can't pronounce all, Tryphenia and Tryphosia. One of the people I said, he said, I think they may have been twins, you know, because matching that could have been. And then in verse 13, Rufus, that could have been Simon of Cyrene's son, because we know he had two sons. One of them was Rufus. We don't know for sure. But notice what it says, his mother in mind. It doesn't mean it's his brother, but it means Rufus's mother. Man took Paul in like a child, praying, and that means caring and praying for him. So these relationships are very, very real. And and notice and keep on with these names, Alex and four there. I think it was a quartet there that you talked about, and the brethren who are with them. In other words, these and I wanted to make this point, and I throw it back to you. Paul here, he had a relationship with Rufus, but because of that relationship, he had a relationship with Rufus's mom. It's like those concentric circles of concern. And here it is, in verse 14, he greets these guys here, playing. And it says, and their brethren who are with them. In other words, listen, that's it. It makes you think about what Paul said to Timothy. Timothy, I want you to tell you, what I've taught you, you teach to other faithful men who will teach others also. Four generations, if you will. And so here it is. I find this in Romans 16, too, that concentric circles. It just spreads out like that pebble in the water. It keeps going to affect others as well.
Well, you know, verse 12, you mentioned Tryphenia and Tryphosa and Persis. Okay, all these three are women. Tryphenia and Tryphosa, many, many scholars think they were sisters because their names are very similar, you know?
Right, yeah.
It have something to do with a beautiful, dainty one, something like that. Maybe they all three were sisters. And then Rufus, some think, and maybe you saw this too, okay, Mark in Mark's gospel references a believer named Rufus. And some have wondered that if the Rufus that Mark mentions in his gospel is the same Rufus believer that Paul mentions here. I don't completely know his mother and mind. We mentioned Phlegon of verse 14, Asyncritus, Patrobus, Hermes, I'm sorry, and the brethren which are with them. There's a lot of names that I'm just not going to try to pronounce. And to
thank
be honest,
you, Alex.
Yes, I don't know that we really know much backstory on them, but they were helpers and colleagues of Paul. But from 17 and following, now there are a couple of more names, and there's a very powerful benediction. But it wouldn't be Paul without some practical Christian living. And we've got this in 17 through 20, don't we?
We really do. He's going to drop it in because you stay alert. Let me read. Notice his words. I urge you, brethren. That's pretty important. Note, take notice of those who do what? Cause divisions and offenses. This is one of Paul's pet peeves, is divisions in the church. I would say he attacks it, Alex. I know that's a strong word, but he really does. He said, there's no room for this. There's no room for that. So here he says, take note of those divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. Notice the strong language. He says, I urge you, take note of them, contrary, and then avoid them. This is really important stuff. I think he's saying, you guys have a good fellowship. Don't mess it up. You know, I think that's what he's saying, Alex.
Absolutely. That is really good. Divisions, offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Now, verse 18 of the people that divide, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. And by the way, the word there, flattery and embellishment. And one of the words used is the word eulogy. Now, we think of a eulogy like at a funeral or something like that. But, just puffed up words. And, Bert, we've all seen people like that use language to try to steer people and, frankly, mislead people. One of the words there is the word eulogy. And another is just simply the word for flattery. And the Bible says, let your yes be yes and your no be no, doesn't it?
It does. And again, this is pretty powerful in the New King James, smooth words. Have you ever heard of a smooth talker? And I think this is what it's referring to, And they usually change meanings. They're going to use your language and make it attractive, but they have ulterior motives, and even sometimes different definitions of those words. So take note of them, beware of them, and all they're doing is serving themselves.
Mm-hmm. And it says this, they deceive the hearts of the simple. What's sad is, in 18, it says that, these smooth talkers, they deceive the hearts of the simple. The word there is really the word for sincere. And I've met a lot of people that are sincere and they're very trusting. And I want to tell you, it's a serious thing to betray somebody's trust. And people do that. Now, we are to have discernment. I think we're to be kind and open-handed with everybody, but also at the same time have discernment. And, if something sounds too good to be true, it probably is. So, just because we're representing Christ and showing his love doesn't mean that we're to be gullible. Amen. Or easily misled. Verse 19, for your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I'm glad, therefore, on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and innocent concerning evil, simple or innocent. In other words, in verse 19, he says, I'm proud to know you. You're real, you're authentic, you're genuine, and I am glad, therefore, on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise. I think Paul is kind of saying, hey, in my absence, be careful.
Yeah. Notice wise and what is good. Now, we're going to get to verse 20, and I agree, we talked about it earlier, that it's probably referring back to Genesis, but it might be verse 19. I want you to be wise in what is good. Adam and Eve, when Eve partook of that tree of knowledge of good and evil, listen, she already knew what good was. They were in the garden. They had a relationship with God. He would meet with them each day according to what it looks like later when he'd come in the evening of the day. They knew what was good. So if you can know what is good, I want to tell you that's the good standard. Alex, I remember this, and you probably have counterfeit bills, say when you study in the U.S. Treasury and you're going to be one of those people that are going to identify counterfeit bills, you don't look at all the counterfeits. You get to know that which is real so well that you can spot a counterfeit in a moment. Yeah. So when we know Christ and we know that which is good, wise on that is good, we're ready to spot that which is not measuring mm-hmm. up. And I think he gets across that in verse 19.
He really does. And it says, the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. In Genesis 3:15, there's the promise that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. And by the way, you mentioned the lies of Satan in the garden. He told Adam and Eve, eat of this fruit. Come on now. Your eyes will be opened. You'll know good and evil. They did. They knew what it was to be right with God. They didn't yet know what it was to be fallen away from God, but the minute they sinned, they did. Bert, praise God, I know what it is to have never broken a bone. By God's grace, I've never had a broken leg. I don't want to know what it's like to have a broken arm or a broken leg. I could imagine, yeah. But, you know, listen, we know good if you know Jesus. You know what it is to be right with God. Don't find out what it's like to be backslidden.
Amen,
you know, there's a whole lot of things in this world I don't want to know.
And you notice know? How he ends this. After all that, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. What is this? It's God's grace. Salvation, discipleship is all God's grace. Isn't that a way for him to put that mm-hmm. at the end of this verse 17, 18, 19, and then 20?
Well, and we need that grace.
We do.
Bless his name. Every day we can live in that grace, can't we?
We can.
And so 21 through 27, this Mount Everest of language, which is the book of Romans, the declaration, constitution of the Christian faith, it's been said. He goes on and he mentions some more kinsman, workfellow, and then finally, verse 22, just a little word here. Tertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord. The stenographer got in the credits, didn't he?
He did. He's now again stenography secretary, amanuensis. They have different, but it was the person that was writing it down, and he's the other person that's mentioned. I forgot the another one. It's in Colossians or somewhere where the person who is the stenographer takes this down. He gets his, but then Paul is going to take the pen in hand. Mm-hmm. And this is what he would do at the end a lot of times. But I greet you in the Lord. And then Gaius, my host, and the whole church that's
and
with
of
him,
the whole church.
Yeah. It says they greet you. They're probably staying with him. He's their host. And Erastus, the treasurer of the city, greets you. And Quatrus, a brother. Again, now here he is. He's been naming names of the people in Rome. And now he's naming the names of those that are with him in Corinth while he's writing this, Alex.
Exactly. But he's going to wrap up 24 through 27 with the name above all names. He's listed all the human names. Now, finally, he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only, wise, be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen.
Amen.
You know, Bert, I've got to tell you, just these last three verses, there is a power and magnificence to this language that is just unlike anything. I mean, there are a lot of, you know, stirring words that have been put on paper. And throughout the Bible, I would argue, Bert, just the wording and the power of these that lifts up Jesus, references the mystery of the gospel, the power of God, the glory of the everlasting God, through Jesus, Just these words themselves speak to the divine origin of the Bible.
Amen. Notice the term, verse 25, it says, now. I think you need to put that in all caps, okay? You know, I've named yes. all these names, but now I'm going to share with you the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that God, He is Jesus Christ, to the glory of God. Alex, I agree with you. And this is one of his great endings of the letters. When you put them all together, Colossians, Philippians, and all, when you see the Roman letter that he wrote, and then he puts these verses 25, 26, and 27 at the end of the book of Romans, I'm just going to say it this way, and I throw it to you. It deserves, the book of Romans deserves verses 25, 26, and 27. You know what I mean? It's
exactly.
So grand. Yes.
It's and the word now there is almost like, in conclusion, or may I summarize by saying this. Hey, by the way, I know we've got a break. Listen up, folks. We've got a phone number, and we want to hear from you and hear your Bible questions. We'll do the third segment, all phone calls, 888-589-8840. Call us with a Bible question, 888-589-8840. After this brief break, we'll get to your phone calls. We enjoy that, don't we?
We really do. Verse 27, to God alone wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever, forever. Amen.
For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. Colossians 1:13.
American Family Radio.
I know the only reason I can stand here unashamed. It's not because I'm worthy. It's all because of mercy. There's no way that I could earn it. Praise God, my debt is paid. It's not because I'm worthy. It's all because of mercy.
Amen. Every time we use that song as intro to the next segment, it is His mercy. Thank God for His mercy. Alex, I know you're back in North Carolina. How did you leave things in Iowa? How was it?
Oh, well, it was phenomenal, and I really appreciate everybody's prayers. And the youth in Iowa go home tomorrow, and I've got some staff out there that are still, you know, wrapping up. The camp we were at, by the way, it's the Cedar Falls Bible Conference Center, Riverview Ministries, where I will be back July 26th through August 2nd, and there'll be a great event. Alan Robertson of the famous Robertson family will be there, and Mark Middleberg, who's a great evangelist. And then, so if you live in the Iowa area, Matt Reisner and his staff, they run an amazing Bible conference. We were using their facilities this week for the camp, and it was just great. I taught on the canon of Scripture and about what the Bible says about gender. But these kids, I got to say this, the kids in Iowa, we could go really deeply into the Scripture because they were some very spiritually mature young people. And I got to give a shout out. There's a young man named Josh. And I was so blessed. Bert, do you remember back in March, I was in Wisconsin, the Christian Home Educators of Wisconsin, they have a big conference. And I've got a video I put up. There's a little boy, he's probably in about sixth or seventh grade. And he ran up to me and he said, we were in a restaurant, and when I heard Alex McFarland is coming, I jumped up and down and yelled. He said, I didn't care who was listening. I said, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. It humbled me so much. So I get to Iowa this week, and all the way from Wisconsin, there's my little friend Josh.
Amen.
And he said, we're so excited because these kids, they want to learn how to defend the Christian faith. And you know, they were phenomenal.
Amen.
It's such an encouragement to see these young people hungry for God's word.
I'm really excited about what God is doing now. I just tell you, we've heard about the Bibles that are being purchased, open to what God is doing. The college campuses, I know there was anti-Semitic, but what happened before that, man, you in Auburn University, University of Georgia, Ohio State, Texas A&M, others, listen, the Holy Spirit of God's being poured out and people are being saved. Listen, I think we're going to hear from some young people in our day, Alex. So, we got people, but the number, we still got lines that are open, and we think we can get to you. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840 is the number. If you've got a Bible question, prayer request, we'd love to get it today. Alex, where to first?
Well, we're going to go to Missouri, and by the way, regarding the youth camps, please keep us in prayer because Sunday we start in Temple, Georgia, which is kind of down near the Alabama state line, but I'll keep you posted on that. But Dennis in Missouri, Dennis, thanks for holding, and welcome to Exploring the Word.
Well, thank you for taking my call, and thank you for your show. My thing is not so much of a question. I live alone, and I'm in my 70s, and I can't drive, so I can't get to church anymore, and I don't get any visitors, per se. I'm just kind of wondering. I read my Bible daily. I pray, but I just want to know how I can get a closer walk with the Lord, because sometimes it gets kind of lonely, if you know what I mean.
Dennis.
God bless you.
Yes, we do. First of all, in Missouri, would you mind giving us the town in Missouri, Dennis? You don't have to. Would you mind?
I live near Fairgrove, Missouri.
Okay. I think there's a ministry there for some people who are there for Dennis. Let me just say that first. But Dennis, listening to Exploring the Word is good. I want to say this. My mother-in-law, man, you're talking about a faithful saint. Loved her, just a godly, godly woman. A prayer warrior, but at the end of her life, she is unable to attend church like she always did, but she read the Word of God, and I'm telling you, she would listen to certain programs. Exploring the Word was one of them, and so that's right, but we're going to be praying that God would send somebody. Alex, I'm going to say this, and I don't mean it sarcastic. I mean it in truth. I'm going to pray that God would send somebody with skin on to help Dennis in this relationship with the Lord that would be good for him. You know what I mean?
Amen. Yes. Well, Dennis, God bless you. I mean, your desire to grow in the Lord and fellowship with the church, even though you're kind of housebound, it sounds like, but that really does touch my heart. I'm a firm believer that specific prayers get specific answers. And, you know, so, Bert, I'm with you. Let's just pray for Dennis to have some friends. And maybe if somebody has a church in that area that you can reach out, that would be a really, really good thing. Bert, God has used us to connect some people, hasn't he?
He really has. And this is what we try to do. That's what a Bible study does. A Bible study connects people. We can see that from looking at Romans 16. So is it all right if I lead in prayer for
Dennis?
Please
do.
Father, I thank you for Dennis. And Father, thank you that he knows you. He loves you. He is sharing his need with you and with us. And we're praying in the name of Jesus that you would bring contact into Dennis's life, someone that would care for him and someone that would just be a blessing to him. And Father, he desires that. He can't go to the church now, and I pray to have church at home, even if it's another person where two or three are gathered in your name. You're right there among them in the midst of them, Father. So we're praying and believing this for Dennis. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. What an honor to minister to people in this way. Let's go to Texas. Stephen in Texas, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hey, brothers, I just want to tell you, I get a kick out of you guys. I love you guys very much, and I enjoy listening to you on my ride home every day from work. Are you there? Hello?
Yeah, we're here. We're hearing you loud and clear, Stephen. Go right ahead, man.
Okay, so I got saved in the Plymouth Brethren. Are you familiar with John Nelson Darby, the Irishman?
Yes, he very familiar, actually, because, you know, what's interesting is, I mean, this, he, around 1831, Darby organized a lot of Christian groups in the Dublin area. And by the way, I've got something about Ireland I want to share here in a minute. But Darby was an attorney. He was an ordained clergyman in the Church of England. Get this. He wrote 40 volumes, 600 pages each, of theology, church history. And he did his own translation of the Bible from Hebrew and Greek. Isn't that amazing?
Amazing man.
But, he translated the Bible into German, Italian, and yeah, he was. But my question to you is this: what do you think about his stance? In other words, let me give you an example. In Titus, well, in Acts also, Paul sent Titus to Crete to ordain them elders in every assembly. So, from our point of view, we see we have elders, a plurality of them, in every assembly. And we believe that pastor is a gift. Poimen is the word in the Greek, is a gift given to the elders in the church. That's what Darby would tell you, and that's what we believe. But I wanted to get your take on that.
Okay. Go ahead, Alex. I'll come in later.
Yeah, and you know, in like Ephesians 4:11-12, it says that there are pastors, teachers, evangelists, and it does say apostles, although I don't really believe in apostles right now, because New Testament-wise, apostles were those who had seen the risen Jesus. But we obviously still have pastors, teachers, and evangelists for equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. And then, of course, within 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, it delves even more deeply into that. But, Bert, this is under the heading of ecclesiology, isn't it? Kind of how the church is structured.
It really is. And you're talking about Plymouth Brethren. Jim Elliot, one of the greatest missionaries that has affected so many people, he was Plymouth Brethren. What a history they have of missions and of reaching Christ. Let me just share this with the elders. When you look at a synagogue, and that's where Paul would go on his, that was part of his missionary strategy. He would go to a city, and if they had a synagogue, he would go to the synagogue. He was a traveling teacher. They'd ask him to teach, and he'd teach about Jesus. And those that believed, they would come out. He'd establish a church, and he would, what, ordain an elder or elders in that church. Use the same format of their governance that they had. He comes to Philippi, and at Philippi, there is no synagogue. They met, I have fun a little bit with, they met down on the creek bank, okay? And so what did he do there? Bishops and deacons is what he calls them, overseers and servants. I just don't see, this is my thoughts, there's no guaranteed perfect way to say, okay, this is the way we do church polity, church, you know, and all of that, Alex. That's just my opinion. Doesn't make me right. So if they have elders, praise the Lord. I don't think you have to correct something. Oh, we got to have elders to be right. We got to have a bishop to be right, or we got to have a deacon. As long as you have people who are serving the Lord with the gifts that they have, no matter what you might call them, I think the church can operate. That's free of charge, Alex.
Stephen, let me say one last thing about John Nelson Darby before we move on. Sometimes, because, okay, the belief, the rapture, the 7-year tribulation, sometimes nowadays, people in a very critical sense, they'll say, oh, belief in the rapture, that's just Darbyism. And they attribute, and I would say almost blame, John for the theological system known as premillennial dispensationalism. But let me say this, and this could be a whole show. John Darby, who frankly was an impeccable scholar, he did not, quote, invent the rapture. Other leaders, past and present, in the early church, the first 200 years, there were premillennialists who held a view of the end times, just like what some people scoff at as, quote, Darbyism, but also some just paragons of Christian academics, Dr. Lewis Sperry Schaefer, Harry Ironside, C.H. McIntosh. So sometimes when I hear the name John Darby, I wonder, you know, have people been taught that he was some hack or something 200 years ago, which he certainly was not. But let's also in Texas, Tony. Tony, thanks for holding and welcome to Exploring the Word.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. I just have a quick question. In Deuteronomy 28, the curses and the blessings, they were originally just told and then it became prophetic. And I was wondering if those curses, when those curses actually took place, seems like in Jeremiah 17, I don't have my Bible with me, so I'm not sure I'm quoting the right places, but he talks about those curses. And were those the curses that were talked about in Deuteronomy? And if it's not, when did those curses actually take place?
Alex, when you read this, let me set this up. Chapter 28, you have the blessings in verses 1 through 14, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, yep. Deuteronomy has 28 has 68 verses, and from 15 to 68 are the curses, and you see the word destroyed, perish, strike, defeated, you know, destroyed again and again. So these curses are real. Did they take place at all at one time, or was they different times of intervals when they came and then climaxed into one, Alex?
Well, I think there were different intervals. 48 and 49 are interesting. You know, if they fall away and did not serve the Lord with gladness, they backslid. Therefore, you shall serve your enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee in hunger, in thirst, in nakedness. Verse 49, the Lord shall bring a nation against thee from afar, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flies. So, Bert, they had captivities. They were in captivity to Persia. They were in captivity to many a nation, even up through the time of Christ, the Babylonian captivity. And of course, you know, very famously, Egypt. It was almost like these were, in some way, general repercussions from backsliding. And it in other words, the protection that God supernaturally put over them would be withdrawn if they would turn. And yeah, there's immorality and there's sin, but the big sin that was so prohibited, and yet the sin that Israel seemed to be so prone to, was idolatry, wasn't it?
It really was. And so, and you see this, you see, I would say previews, and now I know that's not the best terminology, you'd see previews of the curses, but it's ultimately going to culminate in a huge, and even at the end of time, Alex, you know what mm-hmm. God's doing. So the thing you want to do is stay with God, walk with God, and let him be Lord of your life. Well, Alex, tomorrow will be Fire Away Friday. You going to be ready for all the questions?
We're going to do it, folks. We're going to be ready tomorrow. All questions, all the hour. So be ready to listen to Exploring the Word tomorrow. And we'll, good Lord willing, we'll have a really great Fire Away Friday.
We are. And until then, we want you to serve the Lord. And we're praying for Dennis. Those of you that are prayer warriors, write his name down, asking God to send him that person that would help him and help him in his relationship with the Lord. But until then, tell someone about Exploring the Word, but more importantly, tell them about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
Faith, family, freedom. American Family Radio.
We'd like to thank Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day their network clinics rescue 200 babies. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.